But I want to draw your attention to a specific subject to be thankful for tonight. And that's found in Philippians chapter 1. I'll just read the first opening part that Paul gives here. Philippians chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And the bishops there is another word for pastors. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to draw your attention to Paul's statement here in verse 3 about his gratitude for the people of Philippi. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of who? Of you. And he's speaking to these precious believers here that were in this local church. We don't know how big this church was. It could have been similar size to Crooked Creek Baptist. We don't know. Could have been a lot bigger. Could have been smaller. But nevertheless, there were a group of believers that loved this man, Paul. He was one that led them to the Lord. And I hope everyone here can reflect back to the people in your life that God has brought along to encourage you spiritually. There's a connection there that God gives you with people that impacted you. Could have been a parent, a grandparent, could have been a neighbor, just could have been a sibling. But someone who touched you and impacted you greatly with the gospel. Well, these people loved Paul, and Paul loved them. It was a mutual love. And we see that all throughout this letter. And I want to draw your attention to what he's going to thank God for about them. And the title of tonight's message is simply this: Be thankful for the brethren. Be thankful for the brethren. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that you would lead us tonight. Holy Spirit, please, Lord, fill me and anoint me, Lord, that I would say that only what you would have me say. And thank you for those that have come out tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd bless each one and whoever might be listening live stream. I pray that you would bless them as well, Father. Thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be thankful for the brethren. And one of the things I want to look at tonight, there's no way I'll be able to cover all of this subject, but I want to look at the reason why Paul was so thankful for the believers in Philippi. Why was it that Paul was so thankful for the believers here? Well, there are a good many. In fact, I have six points here that I could teach tonight, but I think for the sake of time, I'm only going to do one. All right, I'm just going to do one, and it's the first one, and it's found in verse 5. All right, so we see that he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." He prays for them with joy in his heart. And he lists the first thing here in verse 5. He says, I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That word fellowship is a powerful word. It's the Greek word koinonia, which basically means communion. It means sharing something in common. And that's what he is thanking them for right out the gate. He's thanking them for sharing those things which are most precious in life, sharing them together with these believers. You know, believers have a unique connection that the rest of the world does not have. And the reason that is because now you can be very close with individuals that are not believers. I'm not suggesting that. There's definitely a place for that, such as perhaps a family member that doesn't know the Lord. You still have a close relationship with them. Hopefully you do, to show them the love of Christ and whatnot. But here's the reason the world cannot experience what believers experience in fellowship, is because everything an unbeliever experiences together and the things they have in common are all temporal things. They're all temporal. But what believers share together, that I'll list some tonight, what we have in common is that which is eternal. And there is nothing like it. As the children of God, and Paul is thankful for their fellowship in the gospel. And the gospel is the good news. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and believing in Him for salvation. And that's what He connected with them primarily. That's what brought them together. That's what keeps them together. That's what gives Him joy. That's what gives them joy. By the way, that's what should give us all joy. You know, may we be reminded through this tonight that this fellowship that Paul experienced with the believers in Philippi, and as far as we're concerned too, fellowship is not limited or bound by distance. It is not limited by distance. Paul was in jail in Rome, imprisoned for his faith, and then you have the believers here in Philippi. You look at a map from where the crow flies. Of course, it'd be several days' journey, maybe several weeks' journey to get to Rome from Philippi. But from where the crow flies, it's about 600 miles. They were a long ways away. But what we're going to see right here when Paul writes to these believers is as if they're sitting right there with him. There is a sweet communion and closeness when it comes to having fellowship between the brethren. That's why we can have a connection with missionaries that are across the world in Africa. We can still have that fellowship with them. And don't get me wrong, I believe that fellowship can be used and should be used in the physical sense too. You know, when it comes to events and activities, we use that term, don't we? Boy, that was a good fellowship on Sunday night. Or, boy, we're going to meet over at so-and-so's house for a great time of fellowship. You know, that's good. We should use that. That's an appropriate way to use it. But if we're not careful, we will only look at the term fellowship as in the physical presence with one another. But when you think about fellowship in this context, remember, what does the true definition of fellowship, the biblical definition? It is sharing things you have in common. And as believers, the list is just infinite. It goes on of what all we share in common. Fellowship goes deeper than just acquaintanceship or friendship. So you can have friendship with someone but not have fellowship with them. But when believers get together, we should connect as the children of God. You see, true Christian fellowship is a gift from God that should draw a response from each of us just having a sincere gratitude. And by the way, only believers can know of Christian fellowship. You know, I kind of look at it as this, you know. I saw a video the other day. These two guys, Ben, you'd appreciate this. They were two Korean guys, and they were going to power clean, like, 700 pounds. But the reason it was so unique is usually you got these guys that will do it by themselves. So they got the big barbell laying on the ground, okay, and they get down and they get it up. And power clean is not only do you get it off the floor up to here, but then it's also you go a second round and you push it up above your head, okay? So it's kind of a big double move there. Well, these guys, what was so unique about this is these guys were doing it together. Have you ever seen that? Two guys, it was crazy. So these guys were side by side. And you gotta know what you're doing. You're talking about a serious injury taking place. But these guys were on the same barbell, side by side, and simultaneously in all their movements, they went up. They successfully got it up to here, and you could tell they're communicating. And this is like 700 pounds, might even been more. But nevertheless, they got it up the second time, and their legs went out from under them, and they had it up, and then of course they dropped it simultaneously, and man, that was pretty impressive. But you could say very clearly that those guys knew exactly what each other were going through. They had a connection because they were sharing the same weight. They were sharing the same load. They were sharing the responsibility, the timing, everything that went into getting that weight up and above them. There was a real fellowship going on right there. And when I think upon believers, we deeply feel what we go through in the Christian life, what we experience. Let me just name a few here. We connect and understand salvation from sin. Oh boy, the songs we were just singing together, wasn't that a blessing? Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. We all know what it means to have that assurance of salvation, of heaven, knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that Christ Jesus died for us. We sing grace. We've all experienced grace is greater than all our sin. We connect on that. We share that, don't we, brethren? Not only that, but we share the same home. We all have the same home, and that's heaven. Amen. I think of Brother Ray Wilkes tonight. Brother Ray's home. He's home now. And he graduated to glory, and I look forward to seeing Ray again. And that's what we think about our loved ones. We connect on that. The unbelieving world cannot connect on that. But we have fellowship knowing that this world is not our home. We're just pilgrims. And that's really strange to the rest of the world, but that I can have fellowship with you on. We look forward to that together, don't we, brethren? We right now, we see corruptibility, don't we? You definitely see corruptibility up here, I'm telling you. We all have that. But when we get home, we'll have glorified bodies. We'll be made like unto Him. Heaven, we have the same Father. We have the same loving Father. The Creator, God, who is the one who planned it all. The Supreme Being, the Supreme God, our Heavenly Father, who loves His children with an infinite love. And we all connect there. He's our Daddy. We have the same Daddy. Heavenly Daddy. The Almighty God, who allowed us to be born into His family through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. I love that verse. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power or authority to become the sons of God or the children of God. Even as many that believe on His name. We have the same Father. We have the same Holy Spirit. We've all been given the Holy Spirit as brethren. We can have fellowship because when we get together, our spirit bears witness with one another because we have the Holy Spirit. The world can experience that. We ought to be thankful for that. We have the same Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the same Shepherd and Friend. We have the same King. Yes, we do, friends. He is our Master, our Lord. You know, I think about fellowship. We go through the same struggles. the same trials, the same temptations, the same failures, the same sufferings. We go through those things, and they all have a little different color to them because where we are in life, of course, and different degrees at different times. But the fact of the matter is we all go through them, and we can connect. We share those. Nobody else in the world experiences that except God's children with each other, because we have a purpose in life of honoring Christ, and we know that we're in spiritual warfare. We all sense that the devil's trying to destroy our lives. He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to rob God of glory. And only God's people can share that. And we should share it. We should encourage one another through those things. Even Paul said this same term he used later in chapter 3. He actually used it in the context of knowing Christ's suffering. And he says that I might know the fellowship of His sufferings. That word fellowship, you know what Paul was saying? He was saying, I want to know Christ better by knowing the fellowship, like sharing the sufferings of Christ. And I believe what Paul is saying there is that he wanted to know the power of Christ's resurrection, but he also knew that if he could feel what Jesus felt in some way here on this earth, it would cause him to feel closer to his Savior. It's almost like Paul just wanted to feel what his Savior, so that he could just be that much closer in fellowship, of communion, of being that one that knew his Lord that well. And again, it was sharing in those things. We share the same love for each other. At least we should. 1 John 3:14 says very clearly that we know we have passed from death unto life, the Bible says, because of our love for the brethren. We have a mutual love, and we should anyway, for each other. Different backgrounds, different colors, different history, different personalities, different gifts. Hey, it doesn't matter. With God's people, we have a fellowship of love. It's God's love. No one else can experience that. And I just think tonight we ought to just be thankful for the fellowship we have as God's people. Yes, we get to share meals together. Yes, we get to do fall festivals, serve together. We get to meet here for worship. But folks, fellowship goes so much deeper than that. It's rich. We share the same mission of going with the gospel to a lost world. We share in people rejecting that message. We share those emotions. We share those times. We get to share when people trust Christ, as we've heard tonight. Brother Tyler sharing that testimony. And I hope that everyone here will experience in some way of being able to point someone to Calvary. There's nothing like it, brethren. And even if you're not the one that necessarily prays with somebody or leads someone directly to Calvary, it doesn't matter. The Bible says as long as we all are trying to have a part. One's planting a seed, one's watering it, and then God gives the increase. The Bible says that neither is he that planteth anything, and neither is he that watereth anything. That's like two big zeros, isn't it? That's what we are. We're zeros. As one preacher said, you take those two zeros and put one in front of it, and that one is God Almighty. What do you have? 100%. Now, God doesn't need us to complete Him, but I will say this. In His self-limitation, He has chosen mankind to be His vessels. We share the same enemy. Satan hates every one of us. And we feel that at times through the demonic oppression. His strategies against us. We share that. It's a fellowship we have. We share the same flesh. We still have that old nature. But in closing, we also share the same local church. And in this context, we share Crooked Creek Baptist. Crooked Creek Baptist, ladies and gentlemen, is not the church of Brinson Jennings. It's not the church of you, and you could say your name, whatever. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. Because this is His body. The Bible says the local assembly is the body of Christ. And He is the head. And as the body of believers, we are connected. And we are sharing this body. This finger shares this body with this ear. This arm shares this body with this foot down here. This eye shares this body with this toe. This is an illustration that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 12. We are all members of one body. And we share that. We have in common. And it's precious here at Crooked Creek Baptist. And that's why it's so important that we stick together. We don't cut each other off. We don't damage each other. We share this body, and this eyeball shouldn't be mad at this eyeball. Amen? Just using the body as an example, we are fitly joined together, the Word of God says, and we ought to have a sweet fellowship that when the world sees that fellowship, they say, wow, those people have something different. They can come together in their differences and even sometimes disagreements and sometimes failures, but they seem to always get along. They seem to always fellowship. It's a Bible word, and it's very important. And I think tonight is something we can be thankful for. Amen? Let's be thankful for the brethren. I'm thankful for you. Let's be thankful for each other. Be thankful for those ones you don't see very much. And give them a call and say, hey, I've missed you. Show them you're thankful for them. You appreciate them. I tell my kids something I pray to God that if there's a couple things I would love to instill to them that I'd love when they leave the home, they at least leave with several things. One of the probably top five is, I pray that my children will leave home with a sense of valuing others. That they will look at others with a sense of value. Everyone is important. Every person is important. That's why it's important to talk to people, to make eye contact, to ask them how they're doing, to actually show care, especially for those that are unwanted and unliked and unloved, perhaps someone that's not in the group, perhaps whatever, but to just show that everybody has value. And I think as God's people, we can strive and grow into that to be thankful for one another because every member in the body is super important. Amen. Let's pray.